Can I invite you to just stay standing for a moment? And just before I get into what I want to teach about this morning, I'd like to just pray for you. I'd like us to pray for each other. We're thrilled that so many people are viewing online, so have a great morning with us. We're really pleased. I'm sure that number is going to just grow exponentially in the years to come. So it's good. But I've been reading a lot about what churches and Christians are saying about this time. I've been a church leader for over 40 years, and I've never been through a time like this before. And I just want to just say two or three things that I've really gathered from others that just, let me just say this to you before I pray. Remember, not everything you hear is true. Particularly when you view online, some of you people that avidly, I've already seen people that this is a curse, this because of something, don't believe everything you hear from your friends or you read online, all right? The Bible says a lot about knowing the facts, and that's really important when we come to this virus. Secondly, remember, not everyone is equally at risk. We know, don't we, the older people, and I'm in that eight category, you know, older people, particularly with acute health conditions, will be extra at risk over this period. So we need to mind those people and love them and care for them, and we encourage them probably to stay at home and self-isolate. Third thing I want to say, remember, this will pass. We will get through this, guys. It will pass. And I think just during this time, remember things and stay focused on what's unchanging. Amen. There's something that's unchanging. Amen. The God of heaven, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you or abandon you. He's with you 24/7. His love remains the same. Amen. That's the truth. So remember that. Remember that. And just, I want to ask you, remember, I believe in this crisis, God wants to use you to bless others. Amen? Both those of the LCF family, but also those beyond that as well, to reach out and express love and blessing to others. I'm so grateful for Pastor Mike, and I can see the leadership he's bringing to this situation. He's called the elders together tomorrow so that we can discuss how we negotiate church during this time. Amen? And we're really going to talk together, and we're going to group together, and we're going to get through this. But why don't we pray Psalm 91 that we looked at last week. Just says some fabulous things. It says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he commands his angels concerning you. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him. I really encourage you, and I really understand how some people fear can get in. It's not just the risk of the health. I think a lot of businesses are going to struggle, aren't they? And we're not unmindful of that. If you're in a little small business, you're going to struggle. If you're on 0 hours contract, you're going to struggle. If lots of people are going to struggle, that's where the church needs to come into its own. We're going to support one another. We're going to care. We're going to develop strategies so that we support one another. Amen? In the midst of these trials. So we don't bury our heads in the sand. We understand the challenges, and we're going to stand with each other and support one another. Let me really underscore what Pastor Mike said. Please let us have your contact details so we can be in touch with you. Fill in those forms. Also, let us know if you need help. You know, we're not mind readers. Amen? Can you tell your neighbor, don't touch them, but to remind them, we can't read minds. So if you need support, then let us know. If you need prayer, let us know, because we want to stand with you. But let's pray together. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for Luton. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for our nation. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are with us. You said you're a very present help. in time of need. And Lord, we thank you for that wondrous promise that you said, I will never ever leave you or forsake you. And so Lord, we just pray the blessing of God. We pray for those people viewing online. We pray that you'll bless them and be with them, and where they are, they will experience your love and your grace and your compassion toward them. And Lord, we just pray for our whole fellowship, and we pray for our neighbors and our friends and our families. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would have a peace and a joy that passes all understanding. Lord Jesus, we commit each other into your care. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would really bless us and encourage us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Why don't we just give the Lord a clap offering, because he's a good God. Amen. Well, we're right in the middle of a fabulous series called No Place Like Home. I want to tell you, this has already been such a blessing to me, this series. We've talked about being planted, being rooted, being intertwined. And I've listened to all of those messages at least twice. I've listened to one of them three times, because they were so impacting my own life. So go online and make sure you'll rejoin them. Today we want to talk about the subject of sowing. If we could put the next slide up. Sowing, the importance of sowing. And we're going to do that today. I don't know whether how your biblical IQ is on money. You know, there are two subjects that I guess I find it hard to talk about. One is sex. That's a bit of a controversial subject. It's great fun and a great gift that God has given us, but it's not an easy subject to talk about from the podium. And I think another one is money. It's not easy to talk about it. But you know, the Bible, interestingly, Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven. There are 500 verses to do with prayer. There are 2,500 verses to do with money. Perhaps God spoke about it so much because he knew it was perhaps one of the greatest rivals he has. And so we want to think about that today. Let me say this. Money is one of God's most useful gifts. You say, well, that's a strange thing. I thought it was the root of all evil. Not at all. Money is a great gift. The Bible actually says the love of money is the root of evil, but money can be a great useful gift that we can use for God. And God delights in you and I owning beautiful things. He likes that. That's why he says, don't steal. So money can be a wonderful gift, but ownership is a right, but it's also a responsibility. And so we're going to just talk about that. I'd like us to read some scripture. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if we go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and we're going to read from verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his own heart to give, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase the store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13, because of your service by which you have proved yourselves men, will praise God for your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and for your generosity in sharing with them, with everyone else, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out for you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And so let me just turn to the next slide. This is the first thing I want to talk about, the importance of sowing over keeping. And the next slide, if we could, I don't know if you like mathematics, but actually I think God is a mathematician. God loves mathematics. He designed mathematics, and he talks about division, addition, subtraction, multiplication. God loves to divide things. He divided the Red Sea, as you remember. And he loves to divide and take us away from things. A friend of mine wrote a book, Bondage Breaker. And sometimes there are things that take a hold of our lives and we know they're not doing us good. And God loves to separate us from them. He loves to transform us and change us. How many of you could say, God, when I came to Jesus, I was bound with something, but God has set me free. Amen? So that happened. Now God also loves addition. He loves to bless our lives and give us things. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, after there are great and precious promises, and God says this, add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, love. And he says, in keeping these, in adding these to your life, you will be, it will stop you from being ineffective and unproductive. So listen, when you become a Christian, you don't stop. You keep growing in the faith and adding to your faith. Then God loves to subtract from us. In Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Aren't you glad about that? That he removed our transgressions. But you know, I think the calculation that God loves most of all is multiplication. He loves to multiply blessings into our lives and multiply his blessings. And I want to particularly to speak to some of us that think, well, we haven't very much. I can think of many incidences in the Bible where someone brought their small offering to God. One boy brought his packed lunch to God and Jesus blessed it and he fed 15,000 people with it. He loves to bless our offerings. Next slide, if we could. It just says this. If you want to change what you're getting, change what you give. If you want to change what you're getting, change what you give. And if you try to hold on to things, you will lose it. The next verse is some scriptures there. It just says, give and it will be given unto you. It also says, so whoever sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. I'm working on my allotment at the moment. I've taken up an allotment and I've put my potatoes in, my blueberries in, my raspberries in. I've planted an apple tree. I've planted my onion sets and I'm expecting to produce a harvest because of that. You see, if you don't give, you don't receive. Now this works in many, many ways. We're not just talking about money. The Bible says you'll be forgiven as you forgive. I tell you, many of us, we want to, our relationships, sometimes our marriages, we want to take a lot from our relationship. But I've learned the more I invest in the relationship, the more I get back from the relationship. Does that make sense? And I think in so many ways, it's as we give and give and go on giving, God multiplies it back to us. You know, I've found this in my life. I've led churches for many years and I would say this, generous people are always joyful people. I've never met a generous person that's a misery. I just haven't met them. I hope you're not a miserable Christian, you know, someone who's been baptized in vinegar. Do you know what I mean? The Bible says often generosity, people have a generous spirit. They have a warm, outgoing, blessing spirit. They want to bless and serve others. And that's it. Next thing, next slide, if we can put that up. I'm back. I want to say this church is an amazingly generous church. It's an amazingly generous church. The Pastor Mike has commented on that a few times to us. And the more I've got to know the church, the generosity is tremendous. We're a church that celebrate giving, acts of kindness. When I see the food bank, sometimes when we're having staff meetings, the food bank truck arrives and there's crate after crate of food that we're giving to the needy. When we take up offerings for those in need, it's generous. We're blessing other nations. I think something like everything that comes in, I think it's something like 16 or 17% is given immediately away to bless others. Because we just bless others. That's in the DNA of our church. And so I want to thank you so much. And it's not just financial, it's the time. The time people invest. Practically helping others. In fact, why don't we just give LCF a big clap for all the generosity that people do? But as I think about this, what will happen if we all step up? I tell you, these two things will happen. We'll do even more than we're doing now. How many want to do more than we're doing now? Yeah, I think on a very practical scale, what is going to happen in the next 6 months of our country? There's going to be massive need, isn't there? And the church needs to do more to bless. The church in times of crisis doesn't retreat. It advances and says, we want to do more to bless our communities and to serve our communities. And that's a long historic thing. You know, schools, hospitals, trade unions, all of these things were actually started by Christians with social consciences who said, we want to care about our world. Yeah. We passionately want to care. We had one of the consultant doctors from the local hospital. She told us how that when the L&D hospital was started, I think it was 80 years ago, it was local churches. Do you remember her saying that? That actually tithed to order to build a hospital in the middle of Luton. Isn't that tremendous? To say we care and we want to do something for God. You see, I thank God for all that we do for that. You know, and giving is about giving our time. Sometimes it's easier to write a check out than to give 2 hours of your time. Let me say practically, if there are people who will have to self-isolate for maybe 2 months, 3 months, we're going to need people who are going to be able to pick up a phone and say, how can we serve you? Are there ways in which we can come alongside you? We're going to need to be able to respond to people, aren't we? So time is a way we gift, at using our talents, the gifts that God has given us in order to serve God. Our possessions, sometimes making them available to God, offering our homes. My wife and I know what that's like. For over, we've been married 41 or 2 years. For 20 years, we had people live with us. Because we were working with some of the most damaged, broken people who had no homes, and we felt as a response for us, we wanted to have people come and live with us and guide them. It's just one of the most thrilling things I've had to see some of those lives, the people that lived on the streets, had nothing, came to live with us, and seeing them now married and in careers and bringing up their families. And it wasn't because we threw Bible at them, we threw love at them. Yeah? Giving of our time, giving of ourselves. I want to say this is a blessing over the church and over your life. Listen, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says, God is not unjust and he will not forget the love that you show to him as you serve his people. And God has seen the way you love and you care and you serve and you text someone in need and you show your love. So if we step up in our sowing, God will do even more. And listen, I will believe you will be blessed. The next slide. our accounts are audited every year. They're available. This is the accounts for 2019. This congregation gave £375,000 in 2019. Isn't it hallelujah? Running for court. I tell you what, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God, and that's everybody contributing. That's what can happen when everybody decides they want to give to God's work, and we see his work go forward. Amen? Amen. Next slide, if we could put that up. Let me say, we need to have generosity, not only sowing over keeping, we need to have generosity over misery. Generosity over misery. The next slide, if you could put that up. You know, this word just says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Look at how strong this word is. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Hallelujah. What a wonderful verse that is in the current verse. God knows your need. But he says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and I'll bless you. I remember the story of a little lad who's just a little boy and just didn't have much money, never got pocket money. And one day he's just stood looking in a shoe shop. And he's just looking, and his eyes are looking at some trainers. And he's just looking at these trainers, and a lady comes by and says, Sonny, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm just looking in at these trainers. And she looks at the little boy, and then she just says, come into the shop with me. She goes into the shop with him, and she buys him 3 pairs of trainers. 3 pairs of trainers. He comes out with 3 boxes of trainers, and he looks up at this lady, he says, lady, are you married to God? Now he had the right idea, because God is a generous God. And you know, one of the most God-like things we do as Christians is we give. We're interested in giving to others. And that giving can be a smile. That giving can be time. That giving could be finance. That giving could be come and spend some time in my home. That giving can be all manner of things. A compliment. Do you know how many people need encouragement? I remember going to visit, I was visiting preacher at a church one time, and I came, and just as I got there, the heavens opened and the rains came down, and I had to park a little way away from the church. And as I was just getting out of the car, I saw a little lad, about 10, come down to get me, and he had one of those big golfing umbrellas. So he put it up and he warmed me, kept me nice and dry. And as I got to the church, I thought, I want to bless it. I had a £5 note in my pocket. So I just gave it to him and said, thank you, son, for helping me out. That really saved me getting drowned. And that was really good. And I saw him go running around the corner and say, listen, this church is tipping now. But I tell you, there's things people need more than a £5 note. They need sometimes... they need to be encouraged. They need to be built up. And you can encourage others. What a fabulous gift that can be. That multiplies out. You see, every big thing begins with a small thing. Every big thing begins with a small thing. The next slide, if we can put that up. How can we give? How can we give? Let's just explore this together. If we go back to this passage, how do we give to God's work when we give of our finance to God? There's principles here. You see, some people say, well, Nigel, does the Bible really say? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is all about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts and the wonderful power of God. But then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul gets very, very mundane. Listen, he says this. Now about the collection. He says, in the Bible, Now, about the collection, do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. That's why we do it. On the first day of the week, on Sunday, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Isn't that very practical? When I went to the Birmingham Christian Centre, I was the pastor there about 15 years ago. When I arrived, the church had 1.25 million mortgage. £1.25 million mortgage. It's a big mortgage. We had a fabulous building, by the way. A wonderful, I would love us to have that in Luton. Big 700 or 800 seater auditorium and lots of offices and car parking, and it was all there. But we had this big mortgage which we had to pay. And I remember the church one day, we went to the church and we said, guys, we believe God wants us to clear this payment. And we went to pray. And you know, it was wonderful. We raised more than £1 million in 4 years. Wow. Hallelujah. That deserves a clap. That was a clap. But you know, what was amazing about it, what was amazing, amazing, amazing about it, it was as everybody played their part, God did the rest. So I had single parents sometimes come and they put £30 in an envelope, which was like, that was like massive. Pensioners, you know, £60 rolled up in the thing. Now, there were some people that gave big donations, but it wasn't of several thousands of pounds. But it was as everybody offered what they had and what they could in keeping with their income, that God somehow breathed on it, hallelujah, and he multiplied it, and we saw that gift. But so how do we give? What does the Bible say about giving, the principles of giving? Well, they're very plainly written out there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and chapter 8. Let's just look at the... Firstly, let me say 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. We give with thankfulness. Jesus said this, who's been forgiven much loveth much. Amen. Someone say amen. When I think of all that God has done for me, my heart is full of thankfulness. One of my favorite verses is, enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, enter his courts with praise. God has been so good to me. I grew up in a broken family. My wife grew up in a broken family. But God's given, when I look at the way God's blessed my wife and I, and we have children, and God has blessed us and given me a home, I am so grateful. And most of all, I'm grateful that there's a God who loves me. And so I want to invest in his work and invest in his kingdom. So we give chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. It just says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your testimony will result in thanksgiving to God. It's about thanksgiving, gratitude to God. We're to give liberally. We're to give liberally. In chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, out of the severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity. Yeah. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. They gave out of liberally. Let me just say, be ever so careful about wishful thinking when it comes to giving. Some people said, Pastor, when I was trying to raise that money and the whole church got behind it, Lord, we want to clear this debt from the church, this mortgage, this £1 million. People said, Pastor, you know, if I came up on the pools, I know we're not meant to play it, some of us do, but if I came up on the pools, you can be sure, Pastor, I would clear the debt. If Aunt Elsie dies and leaves me everything, I'll look after you. I grew up in a rural community, a farming community. I could drive a tractor before I could drive a car. And I remember an old farmer going to his pastor one day and saying, Pastor, I want you to know if I had 200 cows, you can know this, that I would sell half of them and give the money to the church. The pastor said, thank you so much. He says, I want to also know, Pastor, just what's more, if I had 100 cows, I would sell 50 of them, I'd give the money to the church. Vicar said, well, thank you so much. That's really... Can I ask you a question? What would you do if you had 50 cows? Well, I've got 50 cows. So don't be careful of wishful thinking. You know, just start to give what you can. Start to set aside something. Say, Lord, this is for you, for your work. They gave willingly. It wasn't only chapter 8 and verse 2, what we just read there. They gave willingly. They desired to give. They also gave proportionately. Proportionately. You know, one thing I got saved when I was about 15 years old, and my mum was a real Christian. She said, Nigel, you need to set aside a part of your salary. She told me 10%. You need to set aside 10%. And well, I started to tithe when I was living on about £21 a week. Do you know, it was easier to tithe on £21 a week than when you're on 60 grand a year. But to set aside a portion for God's work in keeping with you. And they gave systematically. I always said they gave week by week. That's really important. It's going to be really important over the next few months. If in any way the government says we can't gather regularly, we still want our ministry to grow and to expand and keep on going. And so it's going to be really important that we make sure we've set up standing orders or we give in order that God's work can go forward and be blessed. Let me just ask this, because some people don't always know, but our church is totally self-supporting. So there's no finance come from anywhere else outside. We don't get a big hunk of money every month from, you know, a national office somewhere. In fact, so how we give, you're looking around at the people and lots of people online and other people that aren't here. That's how we fund our church, through the weekly giving of everybody doing their part. Does that make sense? That's just how it runs. And then we're to give cheerfully. It's one of our values. God loves a hilarious giver. He loves to bless others. In fact, one of the joys, you know, of my life has been blessing others. I can't tell you how much joy we had through opening our home to others, to seeing people strengthened, to blessing people. One of the churches I pastors, we had a situation where a number of us, I think it got to about 20 or 30 cars one year. It was when people got to change their car, they realized they didn't actually got a lot for the exchange value. So sometimes what they would do is they would go and get it fully serviced, load the boot of the car with shopping, and then they would come to one of the pastors and said, is there a single parent in our church that could do with this car? And just to go to a single parent who's struggling in life and say, listen, here's just a gift. What a blessing! If you've got a gift like that you can bring, just come and see Pastor Mike. We can bless people, amen, to encourage them. And also, let me say, give in faith. Give in faith. Some people say this, well, I give, but I don't expect anything in return. Why not? Why not? When I put my potatoes in the ground, I'm expecting a harvest, amen. I'll share it with you. If I get a few sacks of potatoes, I'll bring them along. Yeah, when I put that apple tree, you see, you can count, if I had an apple here, if we dissected it, we can count the seeds in the apple. You cannot count the apples in the seed. And so from that one seed, it will produce an absolutely multiplied harvest. And sometimes when you bring your offering and you dedicate it to God, you can see a multiplication of blessing fly out from that. Let me just, the next slide, if we can just go there. Let me say this, giving is a sacrifice. And sometimes when we're giving, we sometimes have to say, well, there's something I personally would have, but I'm going to set aside some money to think. When I was doing that offering, I remember one woman came to me at the end of the year and she said, Pastor, I live on a very tight budget. But she said, I just wanted to give to that offering and I just asked the Lord how I could give. And she said, I decided, usually I always have a coffee in Costa every day. She said, I realized I was spending, she came to me the figure, I've got it here. She says, I was spending £662.50 on coffees in Costa every year. Wow. That's what it was. £2.75 a day, 5 days a week, Costa coffee. And she said, I just decided I'd stop having Costa. I'd drink water so I'm more healthier. But that 600, I was going to give to Costa. Isn't that incredible? Incredible. Sometimes just doing things. I remember another friend of mine, he's a businessman, and on a Friday night, his plan was to, he would have a few people come round to the house on a Friday night, and he would buy Chinese for everybody, or takeaway. And then one day, because I was mentoring him, he said to me, Nigel, I'm just thinking about what I should give to the church and God's work. And I said, well, we were close friends. We'd had a couple of holidays together and close friends. I said, well, what do you give? And he told me the amount. It was a significant amount. And I said, how much do you spend every Friday night on takeaway food? He said, well, I don't know. But when he told me, he said it was sometimes 70, 80, sometimes £90. Because I have perhaps 10, 14 people around. And we rolled that figure out and he said, Nigel, I've just realized it, man. I'm spending more on takeaway food than I am on God's work. Wow. And so I just want to say, yeah, there is a sacrifice. But I want to say with all my heart, there isn't a better place to invest in. To invest, you know, I believe Mike and Becky are God's man and God's woman. We've got a great eldership, a great church, and I believe the years ahead, we're going to see advance and multiplication and fruitfulness and blessing, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus is going to go out from this place. And as that happens, we're going to need, aren't we, finance to help us in order that God's work can go forward. I'm expecting tremendous things. Let's just come towards the end now. The next slide, can we put that up? You see, when we prioritize generosity over misery, when we all do it, we will see multiplication and increase. The next slide. So I believe sowing leads to fruitfulness. It leads to fruitfulness. The next verse. Verse of next one, if we could just put the next one up there. These scriptures are great. You see, at the end, at the very beginning, God said about fruitfulness. He says, be fruitful and increase in number. That's God's plan for his people. And then in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says the number of disciples multiplied. Listen, sometimes we don't take enough. I think we need to spend more time thinking about our history. It was only 50 years ago where maybe 30, 40 people met in this church. Pastor Alan West was the leader, and a few people gathered together and they used to just pray. See, for many years there was a roof over this gallery. And we never even half filled downstairs. Now normally, there's often standing room only. See, we've seen the multiplication of God. The church in Dunstable, was really, a lot of those early pioneers left this church and went and pioneered, and that's a great growing church as well. We've touched ends of the earth through this church. Many mission projects are blessed. I think it's something like 60 children are sponsored around the world from the members of this church to help them be educated, be fed, to be medically cared for. Isn't this tremendous? What God has done, the multiplication factor. Things like Youthscape, a national youth ministry based in Luton, began in one of our little offices over the back here. And now it's touching all the schools throughout Luton. It's reaching out across the nation. So listen, we have seen the multiplication factor. But listen, if God multiplied by the same factor in the next 50 years, what would happen? Amen. Isn't that incredible? So if 120 people in the book of Acts can grow to now 2+ billion people, Christians on earth today. Hallelujah. God wants to bless and take his church forward. Just the next slide. I'm coming into land. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike just to come and share it in just a moment. But let me just say about, see, God is faithful. The next slide. But my gift, I would ask you to seriously just go think about today. We've got a little leaflet that will show you all the ways in which you can give to God's work. It really helps us if you can set up standing orders, and many, many people do. Just every contribution is really important. Mike, just come and share with us. That'd be great.
Wasn't it great? Come on, let's thank Nigel, you know. He would never say this of himself, but you don't know how blessed we are to have Nigel. He's not just nationally respected. This is an internationally respected man of God we have in our house. And just the wealth of wisdom that Becky and I get from Nigel and Pastor Alan. I mean, we've really landed on our feet at LCF. We've come here and so often you hear horror stories of people moving churches, but we've just been so blessed, and that's through the elders and Pastor Nigel, Pastor Alan. And should we just show our appreciation for the people who've gone before us, the people who are here? Come on. So I just want to talk to you very quickly about Gift Aid. Before I do that though, I was once asked in Northampton, our previous church, a member of the congregation thought they'd caught us out really, Becky and I and the other pastors there. They said, we've noticed when the offering bucket goes past that you don't put anything in it. And every week you stand up and you tell us to give. And you don't put anything in it yourself. What's the deal with that? Well, the simple answer is we give standing order. We would never ask you to do, you can clap, stand in order, we love stand in order, amen. We would never ask you to do anything that we don't do ourselves. And I want you to know that the pastors in this house, staff team, elders, give every week to the work of the church. So we just want to be really upfront and honest about that. As I say, most weeks, there's no obligation at all, if you're new to the church or anything like that, to put anything in the buckets. There's no hidden cameras anywhere. But I want to challenge you, if this is home for you, we're talking about this campaign, there's no place like home, invest where you're planted. Often, Tom, I've been asked, well, you know, I give to a ministry over in America, a mega church, that's where I tithe. You know, I believe the tithing is to the storehouse where you're getting fed week in, week out. And I'll say that as your pastor, I do it too, so I'm not ask you to do anything you're not doing. But I want to talk to you very quickly about Gift Aid. There's a saying that goes, you don't get something for nothing. Well, actually, with Gift Aid, we get something for nothing. So let me just explain the principle of Gift Aid. If you are a UK taxpayer, if you are working here in the UK, you pay tax. For every £1 you give to LCF, if you sign this very little short form, a Gift Aid declaration that you can pick up at the end of the service at a table at the front here and upstairs in the balcony. We can get 25 pence for every pound that you give. Now that sounds a little bit insignificant when we're talking pounds, but when you're talking £1,000, if over a couple of months or a year you gave £1,000, we literally can get money for nothing, £250 given from tax. And there's many people in our churches, in our Elam church, across the nation, other denominations who give every week and are completely oblivious to this fact of Gift Aid. So I would really encourage you, if you give to this house, and I found out this morning that I didn't know, we can claim back up to 4 years of your giving, 25% of everything you've given in the past 4 years if you haven't done it yet. So I'd urge you, if you do pay tax, please consider grabbing one of these forms at the end of the service. Our finance guy, Kevin, is not here today, but he would love to be able to speak to you about this. Also, Roy Turner. Really, really easy to do. You just need to set up a little standing form like this, pick it up at the end of the service and fill it out. So I just also want to talk to you about ways you can give as well. So really important, if we do get banned meeting or restricted meeting, I'd encourage you to set up a standing order if that is something you can do. Again, no obligation, no pressure, no one's watching you, but if you can do that, we can Gift Aid on your standing orders as well. You can do an online payment. You see the details there. If you want to grab the account numbers and the details there at reception, you can also text your offering now. All you do is you text CL 014 to 64647, and you can also give cash or checks. Now, if you do give by cash, weekly and you're wondering how you gift aid, we can assign you a little envelope with a specific number which will help us gift aid on your cash offerings as well. But if you want to give standing order, there's also a little form you'll find on the table here at the end of the service and also at the balcony. Claire will be upstairs and Ian will be downstairs. But I just really encourage you to think about it. And we know biblically the tithe is 10%. If you've never given before, when you think about 10% of your income, that is a massive thing to some people, especially if you're already on the breadline. And we're not a legalistic church. We just encourage you to give what you can give. Start somewhere and work your way up to it, as some people will and have done. Amen? Amen.
Just there's two scriptures I want to conclude with that I just want to, you know, I think there's only one place in the whole Bible where God says, test me. It's interesting. Test me. And it says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Some people say, well, where I give something to God TV and I give something to my mission and I give something to other people. You know, let me just ask you to try this. Next time you're eating in Pizza Hut, when it comes to the end, finish your meal and then go next door to Benny and Jerry and try and pay. You see, what happens is you pay where you eat. And I believe in the local church is our place where we fed, where we're strengthened, where we give. And as we give to the local church, God will multiply. You see, we're living, let me be absolutely sure about it, we're living in the good of 5 decades of people that have obeyed these principles of giving. Amen. We don't own it. We don't have a mortgage. That's a tremendous thing. What a blessing. How many of you would love not to have a mortgage? It'll come one day. Some of you are saying, Lord, I'd like to have a mortgage so I can buy a house. Well, that'll come as well. But listen, the Bible says this, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. Hallelujah. You know, I've found this. You cannot outgive God. And as you give to God faithfully, he will bless you. Amen? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God is so good. And then there's just one more scripture I want to just read. It's found in Genesis chapter 49. You might like to read it because I'm just going to pray this blessing over our church. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. I was so moved by this. I've prayed this every day when I've got up in the morning and every day, because Pastor Becky ministered to us about Joseph. A powerful message last Sunday morning. How many of you were there? It's a great message. Go online and get it, because there was some really meaty stuff in that thing. And this is the blessing on Joseph's life. It says, and I'm praying this over LCF, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. But, and then it just says, because of the Father, God helps you, because the Almighty blesses you. And I believe in my heart, I believe we're in a new day. I believe we're in a new generation. The world is panicking, but I tell you what, God's people are going to rise up in this time, and we are going to be a fruitful place. Amen. We're going to see blessing. We're going to see multiplication. We're going to see the gospel extended. You know, I want to tell you, have your antenna up at the moment, because there are many people that are lacking hope. There's much fear in the land, but it's at such a time as this that God can minister his grace and his peace through his people. So will you stand with me? And we're just going to pray God's blessing over the church. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise you today and we bless you, because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And Lord, we thank you that you went around doing good. And Lord, we praise you for LCF. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the blessing of God that has been upon this church over many decades, and how we have influenced many, many thousands of people in your name. And Lord, we pray, Lord, as you've been good to us in the past, we pray, Lord, that you will be good to us in the future. Lord, I pray the blessing of Joseph over us. I pray that you will make LCF a fruitful vine that will multiply and will grow and will flourish in this world. Lord, we thank you that the gospel is good news to them that believe. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing upon all of LCF. I pray that you will bless them. And, Lord, as they are faithful in giving to you, Lord, I pray that you will, Lord, you will give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, we just pray for any in our church that are in acute need today, perhaps financially, perhaps physically. Lord, we bring them to you and we pray your blessing upon them. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the blessing of gift aid. Thank you, Lord, that that finance comes into the church that we can extend your kingdom. And Lord, help us to go on serving and blessing you and lifting up the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask this until you come. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering, can we? Hallelujah.